are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
You are back to AWR's Maranatha Drive, and we are trying to establish a conversation with Dr. Wamalika, looking at matters of the great controversy. Let's see if he has joined us now. Doc, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. We were trying to call you direct, but the number was just not being picked up. But we are glad we're managing to talk to you here. And we are looking today at trying to establish what actually this life and death matter is all about. What is the great fight, this controversy? What is it centered around? And maybe let's start right there this afternoon. What is the main issue of contention in this battle?
Great controversy addresses the issue of good and evil, or between the righteous and the wicked. Every creature perceives that there is a tension between good and evil. So your question is the issues that are at stake in this great controversy. We believe that God is God, and bad is Satan. You may use different words, but that's the best thing. So what is at stake is the character of God. Is God fair? When we see problems of humanity, the suffering going on, death, and war and pain, is God fair? So the question here is, the character of God is one that is of the main issues in the great controversy. Satan has accused God that God is not fair, that God is not as he says. And therefore, the whole battle is God to demonstrate that he is love and he is God. That is another issue in the great controversy, mm-hmm. is whether man is able to keep the commandments of God. Is it possible for man to keep the commandments of God? That is one biggest issue. But God comes out to demonstrate that his commandments are not a burden. His commandments are for our good. And therefore, okay. He demonstrates that through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. Even those who refuse to accept that the law of God is good, in experience, they come to confess that you cannot have a society that is built on lawlessness. So the law of God was not just given as a rule, but was given for benefit. So that's one of the issues at stake.
Okay. Doc, in the 1800s, a book was written titled The Great Controversy Between God and Satan. And this book was designed to answer and to rebut the argument that another author in that same period, a contemporary author, had written a book titled The Great Controversy Between God and Men. But looking at the answer you just gave us now, that the issues at stake are God's character, his vindication, and looking at that, his law and how man can keep it, isn't that actually then supporting the second narrative to say, actually, this is a controversy between God and man. Man has just collateral damage. in this argument. He's got nothing to do with it, but he looks like he's bearing the brunt, the controversy, as it were, between this God and this Satan being played full and center on the planet Earth. How do we say,
nowhere does God blame man.
Sorry?
Nowhere does God blame man.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to argue, Mdala, is that when you look at it, this controversy, which is supposedly between God and Satan, is not being played in God's backyard. It's being played on man's turf. And he's the one at stake. And he's the one suffering. And he's the one who is collateral damage. How do you argue against the Satan? Say, no, actually, this is not about God and Satan. It's between God and man. God has got a quarrel with this puny human, which he is using Satan to settle.
I get you. It is true that the battle started in heaven, but the ground where it was fought is this planet. And it is true, your questions are valid from man's perspective. Is this my battle? Why should I be what you have called collateral in this battle here? Mm-hmm. But I want you to know that the Bible, for which you know, portrays the great controversy not on denominational lines, but across the whole humanity. The great controversy not only affected this planet, but it also affected the angelics, the angels. It affected the whole galaxy. And what is taking place here, we can call it a showcase of God's argument that in this battle is his. That's why he says the battle is mine. Mm-hmm. So it is true. Many people have written on the great controversy. As you have said, there are books that have spoken of the battle between good and evil. What we are saying here is that it is not limited to a denominational line. It is something that has been discussed, and even today it's still being discussed. Mm-hmm. And your question is valid.
Yeah, because what I'm wondering, sorry to cut you there, Doc, is I like how you made mention of how it started off in God's yard and the issue was his character. Is that still being questioned even today, since that it seems like the goalposts, as it were, have shifted and now this battle is about other things here on Earth? Is God's character still the one being the heart of the issue?
Let me put it this way. Mm-hmm. That's your question. Still being discussed today? Is it still there today?
I'm saying the character of God, because that's where you said it started off, right? That's why it was right in the heart of heaven, because they were questioning just God as being able to be the ruler of the universe. So I'm saying, now looking at the changes that have taken place in the battle, is God's character still being questioned? Is it still what the heart of the issue is, even today?
All those who have believed in what Christ did and taught in his birth, death, and resurrection, the character of God has been vindicated. The reason why we take our side on God's side is because we have opened the scene that God is love. Mm-hmm. So today, all who believe in God are able to see that God is love. So today, those who refuse to believe it still carry the question in their hearts that God is not fair. So I would like to say that his character has been vindicated in the death of Christ. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He did not lend him. He gave him. He gave him to be one of the human family forever, to retain humanity. That giving of Christ to die for our sins.
Yeah.
That giving of him to enable him to carry the human nature into the highest heaven. His death and resurrection have answered that question, that character of God need not be questioned. Mm. God has shown that he is biased in favor of man.
Yeah, yeah. And I like how you bring in this idea of Christ, and one would even argue to say, in essence, that's why it's still God's fight, because even though the battleground has shifted from heaven to earth, God is still very found there. I mean, Psalm 24, verse 1 would say, the earth is the Lord's right and everything in it.
Amen.
So he's still very much, and how Christ then comes and fights this battle, even on earth's turf, becomes very profound. Maybe let's wrap up with that to say, how does that Christ dying on the cross of Calvary bring this whole idea of the great controversy into the clearest focus? And what does the death and resurrection of Christ mean in this whole scheme, this whole battle, this whole controversy?
Okay. When you look at the cross of Christ, it was a point where God's love was fully demonstrated, because at the cross, Christ made a decision, what we call the supreme sacrifice that saves us. He chose to say goodbye to his eternal life so that we could live. So the fact he made a decision to die forever, that man may live, it shows God's love. At the cross, the character of Satan was displayed. While in the beginning he was called the murderer, but the actual murder was exposed clearly at the cross. At the cross, the whole heaven witnessed that God's love for man is more than what man lost in Adam. So what we get through the death of Christ and through the resurrection of Christ is much more than what we lost in the fall of man. So the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ are two pillars that speak loudly, not only to us, but to the whole those who are observing this battle, that God loves man more than anything. He loves man more than deadlines. So in that case, it is the birth, death and the resurrection of Christ that spoke the vindication of God's character. And those are the pillars of the gospel. And we know that after the cross, all the accusations against God, because God was accused that he's extravagant with his grace.
Mm-hmm.
But after the resurrection of Christ, the accuser of the brethren was silenced. And that accuser of the brethren is Satan. We read that in Revelation, that the accuser of the brethren has been cast down. And therefore, we can speak the humility that this great controversy has been won by Christ in his life, death, and resurrection.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Indeed, it has been won. Thank you so much, Mdala. Really appreciate that. And thank you once again for being available to expound some of these matters to make sense.
When you'll be doing it, you'll discover that in Revelation 12, where it says there was war in heaven, that war between Michael and Satan is not people placed before Genesis 1 verse 1, but actually that war, if you read the whole chapter, it took place at the cross. It's at the cross that Satan was once and forever defeated. So today, we can say Satan is a defeated enemy. Christ is the victor. And that's why those who choose to believe in Christ have peace that surpasses all understanding.
Mm. Mm. Amen. Amen. Peace that surpasses understanding. Again, the death of Christ breaking history there in the middle. Thank you, Doc. Until we chat again tomorrow, keep well.
God bless you. Thanks.
Thank you.
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.